This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
I'm Noelle Lim, and today we speak with Tay Kay Luan, the Vice Chancellor of the International University of Malaya, Wales, or IUMW, a joint venture between UM and the University of Wales Trinity of Saint David. Welcome to the show, Tay. UM is regarded as Malaysia's premier public research university because it is difficult to get a place. University of Wales, on the other hand, is an open-to-all institution where there are no minimum academic requirements. So there's, of course, a place for universities like Wales to ensure everyone receives a higher education. But how has this JV benefited UM?
The purpose of this venture is part of the diversifications in terms of its revenue generation for the University of Malaya. As you know, public universities way back in the, since 8, 10 years ago, they've all been requested to identify ways and means to generate their own revenue. In addition to the government grants, they have been receiving, for decades.
The National University of Singapore, for example, chose Yale and Stanford as partner universities. They chose to work with an Ivy League school. So why did UM instead choose to work with University of Wales, which is really an open-to-all kind of institution, and it's not like, you know, ranked among the higher-tier universities?
The reason for choosing Wales was simply based on the relationship that University of Wales had already built at that time. During that time, I think University of Wales was operating within the same concept of what we saw in the University of London, where it contains a collection of leading colleges. Since then, University of Wales have gone through a reform where many of the other universities decided to go on their own. So what remains now, University of Wales, the one that we're working with is Trinity St. David, which is really one of the oldest college and universities you'll find in the United Kingdom. Very little is known of them, but if you look at the records, they're the third oldest university in the United Kingdom to receive their Royal Charter after Oxford and Cambridge. Their strengths are in the field of sciences, humanities and the arts, and I think it's a good fit simply because also we didn't have to compete with the likes of the high end or the low end. I think it's proper for the business model at that time, so that to allow better access for students who may not have the qualifications to enter into the public universities. And I believe that it is quite appropriate that the admission policies were designed for that purpose.
So why didn't UM just start a private institution on its own instead of tying up with University of Wales, Trinity St. David?
I can't answer that question simply because the decision was taken between 2012, 2013. Really, I think that decision was taken, and it was done in consultation between the various establishment at that time. So it's today, fast forward, we've come this far. Investment have been made, developments have taken place, and therefore, our role now is to make it a success out of that original decision made way back at that time.
Your university has accumulated losses of 48 million ringgit and net liabilities of 26 million ringgit as at end last year. And University Malaya Group is not in a strong financial position to continue to sustain UMW. So what's your outlook?
Well, I must say to you that, Noel, education business is a very long-term one. It is not about opening a grocery store and you expect to make money the next day. The margins have got even tighter these days with the increase in the number of private universities and other educational establishment. Under my leadership, there are a number of key areas that we are putting in place right now. Which is what I regard as a double transformation. And that double transformation, comprises of one, driving growth, which is mean to say that we need to have an increase in the number of enrollments so that we provide a more sustainable revenue foundation. Second, it's ensuring that we have the appropriate cash flow. And to do so, we need to be efficient all around. I'll be the first to admit that that it has never been an easy experience for me so far. I am pleased to say that, and I'm confident that for the first time in its 7-year history to date, we should be able to turn around financially for the 2019 financial year. Our strategy for 2021 is already in place, and I'm very confident that by the end of 2021, we will be able to build, we will have in place a much stronger foundation for both the financial operation as well as the academic excellence, all of which has to be put in place within the next 24 months.
The situation right now looks precarious because you are in a net liability position, more than 20 million ringgit, quite a huge amount of accumulated losses. So this will require some injection from University of Malaya, right?
We have enough investment to sustain our operation for the next 3 years or so. I don't think that we will have a problems in terms of its financial standing, given the present outlook and the future outlook. I wouldn't want to let the past records be a deterrent to our advancement. I believe that if we get the various initiatives and the drivers in place, I do really look forward to improvement in the financial returns.
How much did UM inject to in order to just pay salary?
I'll be pleased to tell you that we've been working on our own, self-sustaining for this while now.
And that's because you receive like something, maybe a 10 million ringgit?
It's not about that 10 million to think. I wouldn't want to comment on what happened before my arrival, but I can tell you that that to date, we will be able to sustain. And whatever financial injection that we receive, these are regarded as loans, and we need to be able to pay them back.
Given the financial situation now, are you under pressure to raise fees and even lower standards further to recruit more students?
We are looking at sustaining the fee but increasing the numbers. Take for example, there are three areas that we are looking at. One of which I'm looking at is really to look into a modular approach where we offer flexibility in terms of enrollment for our postgraduate. One example is our MBA programs, where we have now approval from the authorities to be able to recruit students more regularly than the 2 or 3 semesters that typically any university practices. Talk about numbers, for example, unofficially for our MBA programs, we have doubled now to each intake to about 30-40 students compared to our initial intake. Then our postgraduate, in terms of the doctorate business admin, when we first started, we have less than 10 students. Today, now, our next intake will be talking about 30 to 40 students. I'm also expanding a new market into the corporate sector is one example. In the corporate sector, I think I'm looking at going into partnership with the Chartered Insurance Institute, for example. Then I'm also talking to individuals from Singapore to run courses or short courses in financial risk management, and that's our young students for risk management qualification. That's the second one. The third one I'm also looking at it in terms of short courses. It's financial intelligence, literacies, as well as investment, and these are all in place. And that's why we recreated the structure. So I'm bringing on board people to hit the new areas in corporate marketing as one. Second one, in terms of marketing, we have also embarked on the social marketing. We're latecomer in this, Noel, I must tell you that. Social marketing has been around for some time, but it's never too late as we enter it. And amazingly, we do have some modest success in terms of bringing a student from new market. And our OC market is conservatively growing. I'm not looking at bullish growth, I'm looking at moderate growth and very sustainable growth. New markets, within ASEAN itself, I'm entering a new partnership with universities from Indonesia. We're off to China to talk to a couple of universities in Northeast China. And my focus is very much on building engagement with them in the hope of increasing our postgraduate education.
We're on The Breakfast Grill with Tay K. Luan, Vice Chancellor of International University of Malaya, Wales. After this, we'll look into how far the university could go with their plans. Stay tuned.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
K.K. Luan, Vice-Chancellor of the International University of Malaya, Wales, joins us on The Breakfast Grill. The two markets you had mentioned before the break, postgraduate and corporate businesses, those markets are very crowded too. So there are many corporate trainers from the one-man show to established schools backed by Bank Negara Malaysia. And My Brain no longer funds postgraduates. So it seems to me you are getting into a bigger fire now.
We need to really look into niche market. Financial risk management, for example, is still very much an area which has not been fully exploited. Yes, of course, I mean, if you Google the word risk management, you probably get thousands of pages. But we are looking at a very segmented market and very targeted as well. The other areas I'm looking at is, for example, is financial intelligence. There are markets where we are looking at now, for example, social entrepreneurship is one. Then you got the gig industry where you got people who offer services that they work from home. And of course, the last one is I've also always very keen to look at is this whole concept of sustainability, where you look into this area here. It is still very much a very infant industry here. I think unless we take a moderate risk in this area, you know, we won't be able to leverage our strengths in what I regard as non-academic revenue. These are going to be modest contribution to our bottom line, because the true business of ours is still very much in academic. And academic means that we need to be able to go into areas on postgraduate engagement. We need to go into being able to provide research opportunities even for commercial sectors.
You are quite strong in the arts and the humanities, and the ROI is definitely higher than some of the more CAPEX, capital expenditure kind of courses like sciences. But, you know, looking at your courses, communication, business, computer science, psychology, biotechnology, I mean, these courses are also offered by many universities in Malaysia. Sure. So I just wonder, and that one, and then two, you mentioned about niche, and I wonder how big a niche is it enough for you to actually make money? So there's already the Jeffrey Sachs Center for Sustainability, Magic is into social entrepreneurship and financial literacy. The government is also pushing for that, and your competition may be the government. There are so many options, which I salute you for trying to pursue, but I wonder whether in the end you may tire yourself out doing all this.
You have to be very, very efficient in terms of running your university. To begin with, I think we don't offer expensive courses. Average of local students who take our courses pays no more than for 40,000 ringgit, something like that.
Computer science, I think, is 50,000 ringgit.
As opposed to 80,000 or 100,000 for some of the more overseas. So you're really looking at 50% of what they would have paid outside IUMW. Students who come to our campus, these are urbanites, who don't want to uproot themselves to go to universities for which they got places. Sabah, Sarawak, even Terengganu, Kelantan, those places. They would prefer to be in the urban and cosmopolitan Kuala Lumpur. That's one market that we are leveraging. Secondly, also, our location itself is an attraction. On top of that, the name of University of Malaya attracts not only the parents. In fact, surprisingly, the young people see that as an attraction. And on top of that, at the back of it, it has a name called Wales. Wales is quite not too commonly known, but it is still part of the United Kingdom. And the British education experience is part and parcel of the value proposition that they find that appealing. For one employer actually told me this, quote and unquote, he said that I don't really care which university that particular individuals come from. Whether it's IUMW or any other known university, the parents may have paid triple or four times more. But it's really the returns. And end of the day, What employers are looking for are students that are employable. Employable, which means that they must be able to carry themselves, be able to give a positive impression to their future employers. And thirdly also, it's all about the whole package, whereby we not only provide the learning experience, but also the interpersonal skills that each individual will be able to experience. One area which I've always thought is always good at is to create a cosmopolitan but a very diverse culture, which is very international. And I think this is one area which that offers what we call as the blue ocean in a sense. We're working hard at it. I don't think we are being very successful in this. I'm looking at overseas students. Overseas students numbers would help private university, not just in terms of its returns, but also to increase the diversity and the refreshing and outlook of their university.
Well, I think one strategy could be, you mentioned the China market, and the Chinese market's huge compared to Malaysia. We know many Chinese do want to come out of China, and they want to live abroad, either permanently or temporarily. Of course, it's hard to get PR in Malaysia, but they could come here, study, get a qualification, get immersed in a foreign culture, and maybe it'll be a stepping stone to go to Australia, for example, depending on the courses that they take. Is that that narrative that you could be selling?
Okay, there are a number of constraints, that we need to work within. One of which, of course, is the whole issue on student mobility, and on which we are working on it. And we could have a short attachment of overseas students coming over, and that's why we need to work hard and to catch up with others in terms of offering a more blended learning, a combination of both classrooms and online learning experience for students. And hopefully in a year from now, we were able to operate offshore. Quite positive that it will work. The other positive point is that if you look at some of the emerging countries in Vietnam and Indonesia, both these countries are catching up on Malaysia. You all know that. Both these markets, they are looking for partners to work with them in course development as well as awards. Interestingly, both are very keen to pursue postgraduate education. And interestingly, it's an area which I think the whole country needs a very hard reminder, is that they are always on the lookout for institutions that have strengths in English.
We might be appealing to, say, the Vietnamese, so they may do one part of their education in Vietnam and they feel like it. If they always have the option of coming to Malaysia, and Malaysia, because we are cheaper than Singapore, and maybe our entry standards are not so high like Singapore.
No, not necessary. I mean, every university has its own standards of admission and so on. I think no institution will want to compromise on their standards unless for obvious reasons. And of course, out of every 100, you probably find maybe 10% who may go astray from their original objectives. But Malaysia has done really, really well. I mean, you take a look at a bigger picture. In terms of private education, there are now many universities that have reached standards that are second to none. And I think they are, as good as any other private university all around the world. And these universities, have been in business for, 10 years or so? So it takes a long time, Noel. I mean, easily, someone did tell me that it would take easily at least 15 years for any university to mature and to be able to offer the sort of standards that's expected out of any typical university, private or public.
The entry requirements to begin with is actually not very high. You only need 2 Cs in STPM, and for foreigners, 2 principal passes in A-levels. And to be honest, I think this is about the lowest entry qualification I have ever seen. So my fear is that what sort of students are we going to be bringing into Malaysia?
On record, majority of them found employment within 6 months upon graduation. And the other evidence I can share with you is the attachment, industry attachment that they need to have as part of their course requirement. To date, I haven't come across any one of them who have not found anywhere in the commercial sector. No doubt that we are not perfect. I wouldn't dare say that we are there. We are not among the elites of all the universities. We are probably among the latecomers. And we are trying our best to get somewhere. A lot of initiatives that we have put in place the last 1 year will take time. It will take time. Ask me this question again in a year from now. I'll probably tell you a different answers, Noel. And hopefully at that time, I'll be able to give you a better perspective of where the university stands.
Thank you for speaking with us and all the best. Tay Kay Luan, Vice-Chancellor of the International University of Malaya, Wales. I'm Noel Lim on BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile. Unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.